John chapter 16 in your Bibles today. It's probably too small for you. John chapter 16, if you have a John and Romans there, you can use that. First book is John. Go to chapter 16. If you want to keep that copy, you're welcome to keep that copy. It's got my contact information on it if you need to get a hold of me for anything. John chapter 16, for those of you that don't know me, I'm Pastor Campbell from Fountain Square Baptist Church. We do the noon Bible study on Wednesdays normally. We're covering for Brother Pollard today. And we do bus pickup for church services as well. You can see Brother Ken here. If you're interested in coming, he'll tell you what to do. John chapter 16, we're beginning here in the beginning of John chapter 16. Remembering we had several messages in John chapter 15. If you want to follow up on those, you can find them on sermon audio. I just uploaded them this morning. Chapter 16, verse number 1. Not sure how far we're going to get here today. We only have about 20 minutes, so we're going to go as far as we can. We may just deal with verses 1 through 4. We may go all the way through to verse 15, if the Lord will allow it. So, actually, I think we're probably going to do that. So, verse 1 here says, "These things have I spoken unto you." We're just going to read through to verse 15, and then we'll jump back and go through it. "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye have, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me." Verse number 4. Verse number 4 says, "But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. These things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. Will not come unto you. And if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you all, he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you." Amen. Now we're gonna just kind of go back through this passage. We're gonna just look at what we have here in this short time that we have. I hear maybe a couple people having a little hard time with staying quiet in their slumber. If you can wake them and let them, maybe give them 3 or 4 cups of coffee, take care of that. Or you could put a
It's on our new Bible study.
You can, we can just get an IV or something with some coffee and take care of that. All right, so chapter 16 here, as we're looking at this. Now, the first 4 verses or so, we're looking at a similar thing that Jesus said back in, we may just deal with the first 4 verses and then do the rest later. We're dealing with a similar thing that Jesus said back in chapter 15. Remember, he said that to marvel not if the world hate you. He says that that we're to remember that the world hated him, and so the world would hate them. In fact, what's interesting here, in chapter 16, verses 1 through 4, he talks about persecution He doesn't use the word persecution, but he talks about being thrust out of the synagogues. Persecution means to receive difficulty for your faith. Now, the difficulty has many different levels of severity. You may have difficulty in that someone just calls you names because you believe, or someone pushes you around, or someone excludes you from their things because you believe, because you've trusted Christ. It can also be that they beat you because of what you believe, or they kill you for what you believe. That's what this persecution is. And in fact, we find that, as he said, that they shall put you out of the synagogues. Now, this is fulfilled all throughout the book of Acts. The disciples, the apostles, they go and they preach, they share the gospel. They're put out of the synagogues. In fact, even before this, remember the man that was healed? That, I'm not going to go into all those details, but the man that was healed, his parents were afraid to speak on his behalf because anybody that recognized Christ as who he was put out of the synagogue. They were put out of the, put out of synagogue there. And so this was a continued thing. He said, they're going to put you out of the synagogues. And then, not only that, but they're going to kill you. They're going to kill you. Well, we also find, I'll mention this other thing about the synagogues later, but there was a man named Saul. Right around the time that the first deacons were chosen for the First Baptist Church in Jerusalem, they were there and they chose out seven among them because the daily ministration or ministry to the widows was not being handled fully well. The Grecians were complaining because they felt like their widows weren't taken care of, and so they said, okay, look, the apostles said, look, what we're going to do is we're going to allow you to seek out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, and you're going to choose them to be your servants. They're going to help you with this ministration, and that is the serving of tables, taking care of the food needs of these widows. Okay, but it also carried with it some other things. These deacons ended up, most of them ended up being evangelists. Most of them ended up, like Stephen, ended up going and preaching the gospel and doing some great things for the Lord. And then he was arrested, and then he was able to bear witness before the council there, and he bore witness, and they gnashed on him with their teeth, and they stopped their ears, and they ran, and they thrust him out, and they rocked him to sleep with real rocks. And I know that kind of sounds a little light. Sounds a little light. But really, they killed him. They stoned him to death. Stoned him to death because he told them that Jesus Christ was the Christ. That Jesus was the Christ. He told them that Jesus was the one who was to come, that the Bible prophesied of, that the prophets of old, that Moses prophesied of, that would come to save Israel and to be salvation, a light to the Gentiles and all of that. He told them the truth. And they said, we won't hear it anymore. And in fact, when he looked up and he said, I see the Son of Man standing next to the throne of God, next to God. That was enough. And they cast stones on him until he died. And they thought, though, that they were doing God's service. You see, we look at them and we think, man, these guys were wicked, evil, vile wretches. These were the leaders of the religious Jews of that day. And then this man named Saul, standing aside there holding the, you know, when that happens, kind of like today, you know, a couple guys get upset with each other and they're about to fight. What do they do usually? So, yeah, there you go. That. Take off their sweater, right? Take off their overcoat, and say, here, hold this. I'm going to do something to this guy. That's exactly what they were doing. These religious leaders that took off their overcoats, handed them to Saul, And Saul's like, all right, I'll hold these while you take this blasphemer out. He thought he was doing God's service. They thought they were doing God's service. And they killed this man. Now let me say that God told us in the law that if anyone comes along and tries to present to you some doctrine that takes you away from God, you're to bring him before the elders, and he's supposed to be, if he's a false prophet, he's supposed to be let go out of the community by death. And that was what they were supposed to do. And so what they were doing was they were applying that law, feeling like they were doing God's service, because they thought that what Stephen was preaching was a false prophecy, false doctrine. And so they took him out thinking they were doing God service. But rather, what they didn't recognize, what they didn't realize, what they didn't understand, was that Stephen was speaking the truth. Stephen was preaching the truth of the gospel. He was preaching the truth that could have given them everlasting life. But instead they said, no, we'll have none of that. You're going to die. And so they killed him, thinking that they were doing God's service. And you know what? Saul said, hey, that's a great idea. I think I'm going to do the same thing. So he goes, and he goes into houses, and he takes Christians out and hauls them out and takes them before the council. And he speaks against them and witnesses against them, says, I saw them. They were in there talking about this Jesus and how he's the Savior, he's the Messiah. And we all know that that's false doctrine, and they therefore need to be executed for blasphemy. He says, He that killeth you, or whosoever killeth you, will think that he doeth God's service. You see, he thought he was doing a service to God until he's on his way to Damascus. And you know why he was on his way to Damascus?
To
go get some more. Yes. He had letters to Damascus. You guys know what those letters were? Letters of extradition. He was going to go up there and he was going to extradite people, because you guys know Damascus is in Syria. Mm-hmm. It's outside the country. And so they were going up to... He was going up to Damascus to get people who had fled Judea and had gone to Syria. He was going to get them to bring them back so that they could be executed for their crimes of believing that Jesus was the Messiah and teaching others so. And so that's what he was on his way to Damascus to do. Now, recognize that I'm not agreeing with him and what he was doing, but he thought he was doing God's service. And then God appeared to him on that road to Damascus. God himself, Jesus Christ. It says the light shines, right? And he fell to the ground. Why persecutest thou me? Right, that's right. And he says, who are you? It's Jesus whom thou persecutest. Wait a minute. I thought I was doing the right thing here. I thought I was doing God's service. He was blind for 3 days. He goes in, and he believed. He believed the right thing. He believed Jesus. He had to be led by the hand to go up to Damascus. He gets to Damascus, and Ananias, a faithful believer, not the same Ananias that died. You know, a little while earlier in the book of Acts. But Ananias comes to him, and it's interesting. When God comes to Ananias and says, hey, there's this man named Saul. He's in this certain house over here. I need you to go and encourage him. He said, Lord, that's the guy I've heard. He's been causing all this trouble down in Jerusalem. And now here he is. He's coming up here, and he's supposed to be taking us back down there. And you want me to go talk to him? You want me to go tell him what? That you've chosen him to go to who? The Gentiles? Really? I mean, remember that when Paul was speaking, in toward the middle end of the book of Acts, he's standing on the steps of the tower going into the castle after they were about to tear him apart down there in the temple. He stops and he begins to speak to him in the Hebrew tongue, and they listen. Like, oh, hey, he's speaking to us in Hebrew. We're going to listen to him. And so he's speaking to him, and he says everything. And when he uses, he says that, you know, he gave his testimony, how Christ saved him on the road to Damascus. And then he says that God has called him to be a light to the Gentiles. And as soon as he said that, they're like, hey, that's enough. That's enough. We don't want to hear it anymore. And now the Lord goes to Ananias and says, I want you to go tell Saul. Go tell Saul, who is coming up here to take you out because you believe in Jesus. I want you to tell him he's going to be a servant of Jesus and he's going to be a light to the Gentiles. Whew. And Saul was, I mean, there was no greater Jew than Saul. There was no more zealous Jew than Saul. I mean, I believe he was a part of the Sanhedrin. I believe he was, you know, he came up under one of the most learned scholars, Gamaliel, and he was a very bright and talented man. He had the equivalent of probably 3 doctorate degrees from all of his study and everything. In fact, one of the Roman rulers said, Paul, much study doth make thee mad, or much learning doth make thee mad. It's like, you learn so much, you're going crazy. So he was recognized as a very influential, very zealous Jew. And Ananias has been, just as the other apostles were told, to go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. In other words, Ananias knew that Jesus said this here. He may not have been there when Jesus said it, but he knew that Jesus said this, that he that killeth you will think that he's doing God's service. And here's Paul, or now Saul at that time, who's in the city. God tells Ananias where he's at. He says, go there, take care of him. And I could probably say that possibly Ananias is thinking about this, what Jesus said. Wait a minute, Lord. Remember what you said about the guys who were going to think they were doing God's service and killing us? I mean, I really don't want to die right now. I mean, I'm in Syria. Right? I just want to... Can you send somebody else, maybe? No, he says, go. Go. And I know I'm probably elaborating a little. I'm being a little, you know... I'm taking, what do you call it? You're taking liberty, if somebody makes a Bible movie, sometimes they'll take creative liberty. Not necessarily saying anything I believe would be wrong. You know, obviously, his response was to the direction that I'm going here, okay? He did question the Lord. It's like, this is the guy that's doing all this bad stuff. What's up? And there's some creamer out there, but...
No, I can't drink it. I'm like, ooh.
Okay. That might be dairy-free. I don't know. I have to read the box. All right. So he goes, okay, I'll go. And he goes over there and he says, Brother Saul. Wherever you want to go. All right, he says, Brother Saul. And he asks him to get up, and the book of Acts isn't in that. I'm just kind of ad-libbing on the book of Acts here for you guys. But he tells him, hey, it's time to begin your ministry. I'm again paraphrasing. It's time for you to begin your ministry now. He says that we're in chapter 16 of John, but I'm in Acts in my head right now. So he says, Brother Saul, get up. It's time to get baptized. Now he had already been, obviously he got saved on the road to Damascus. That's what he pointed back to every single time he gave his testimony. Pointed back to not the baptism, He pointed back to the road to Damascus. Jesus met him there. And actually, Jesus told him what he was going to do on the road to Damascus. But he says, and we know that he accepted Christ because what did he say? He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? We recognize that he, right there in that time, meeting Christ, he recognized him for who he was, Lord. And he submitted to him now. What wilt thou have me to do? Also, in all of that, in that phrase, it contained repentance of sin. Yeah, I mean, he recognized who Jesus was. And then realized, at that moment, what he was doing was wrong. And that Christ was Lord, and that he was going to now be in charge of his life. And so he says, whoa, okay. Lord, what do you want me to do now? And he tells him, and he says, go into the city, and he tells him Ananias is going to come. So Ananias comes to him. So Paul, or Saul, at that time, he didn't become Paul until after his ordination. So he is told, hey, here's what the Lord's going to do with you. Now get up, let's get baptized and get you going. And we find that as you study through Paul's life, you'll find that the very next thing that happens, anybody want to guess what he's doing the very next thing? Anybody? No? No. Very next thing we hear Paul doing?
He's preaching
the gospel. It's like, this dude just got saved. And straightway, he's preaching the gospel. Straightway. I mean, immediately he is telling those in Damascus, he's like, hey, Jesus Christ is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the one that came to save us. And then what happens? He was thrust out of the synagogue. And then what happens? He's got to be let down the wall in a basket so that they don't kill him. And that was pretty much the story of the rest of his life. Go to a city, preach. Some believe, some reject. Get out before they kill you. And in one city, they did kill him. But then the Lord took care of that. And we find that he gives a testimony of going up to heaven and coming back and all of that. They stoned him to death outside of Pamphylia, I believe. Outside of one of the cities. There, they left him for dead. But they thought they were doing God's service. As Jesus said here. And he says, I'm telling you this ahead of time so that you can remember later when it happens. I'm telling you now so you remember then. I'll get some chalk on me. So, one thing, and we'll talk about this on Wednesday because our time's up. But as he tells us this exciting thing that's coming, this persecution, he says, hey, I'm going to get out of here. But I'm sending the Comforter. The Comforter. I think it's great that he calls the Spirit the Comforter. Because during all of that tribulation, all of those trials, during the martyrdom, during the persecution, it's great to know that though Jesus has gone on to be with the Father, we have His Spirit, the Comforter, the Spirit of God, that's with us. And He's going to perform His ministry in the midst of the trials, in the midst of the persecution, in the midst of the hard times, and in the midst of the good times. He's going to lead us and guide us, and we're going to talk about that on Wednesday. We'll talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit on Wednesday. We'll just look at verses 5 through 15, Lord willing. And I wanted to kind of just at least give you a taste of that and get started with that. I wasn't going to spend the time talking about persecution, but I kind of felt like that was the direction the Lord was leading. So, amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that you told us ahead of time that specifically here that the apostles, the disciples would have persecution. But we know that just as the Great Commission was passed down through them to the next, and to us, so also will this same concept, the world is going to hate those that follow the Master because they hated the Master. And so, Lord, we pray, Father, that we'd be faithful servants regardless of the circumstances. Lord, we pray, Father, that you'd help us to remember that we have the Comforter and that you take care of us, and that regardless of our physical circumstances around us, Lord, we can praise you and know that you've told us ahead of time that it's not going to be flowery beds of ease, but it's going to be difficult. But we do thank you, as Brother Derek said earlier, that you give us grace. You give us wisdom in our trials, and you lead us through. And Lord, we pray, Father, that you'd help each of us, Lord, to consider these words today. Lord, I pray, Father, that you'd be with any, Lord, that have not trusted you as their Savior. I pray, Father, that you'd help them to realize their need for salvation. Father, that as we did touch on it just briefly there about how you've died for our sins, and how we can turn to you and trust you just like Paul did. Lord, we pray, Father, that you'd be with any that have not, Lord, that you'd draw them to you. And Lord, for those that have, Lord, we pray, Father, that we'd recognize that there's no trial great enough to take us out of your love or away from your love. But Lord, you're here to help us to be more like your Son. And we just pray, Father, that you would just bless these men, keep them safe for the rest of the day, help them, Lord, to get much accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen.